We continue in our series, The Christian Workout, dealing with how Christians sometimes take their faith journey and misconstrue it in kind of funny ways. We chuckle about it oftentimes, but in all reality, let's understand what the Lord has to say to us here this morning. The human life of a human being is a picture. You know, we are on display as God's work of art, every one of us. And I know we've had someone in our life that sometime has come to us and they've been telling us about another person and they'll say, "Well, boy, they're a real piece of work." And you know, that's really true. They are. Rightly so. They are God's handiwork, right? We are all God's handiwork. We're a real piece of work. As we live out our lives, we display a message to those who view us, much like the artwork around us. I've come to love artwork more so than when I was younger, and because I've learned to look beyond the superficial picture. Rather than just looking at a picture and walking by and saying, "That was a really neat picture," now I've learned the importance of walking up to it and pausing and looking into the picture and allowing the picture to be absorbed into my mind and into my body to really understand and see what the painter or the artist is trying to say in the colors, in the faces, in the scenery, in whatever objects are in the picture. And I've learned to appreciate some of the art that we have out there today much more. And I've learned to understand sometimes what the artist is really trying to say. But sometimes what we see just simply isn't what the artist intended. Or maybe what the artist intended, we just simply overlook because we're captivated by the whole thing, the piece of artwork. To put it clearly, oftentimes it's not really how it looks because we only focus on the outward appearance. And in our text today, Jesus speaks about this kind of thing. We're talking about the woes of false religion, one of them being when our outward appearance becomes the focal point of our faith. When our outward appearance becomes the focal point of our faith. In the text here, we find Jesus teaching, and he's talking to the Pharisees, and he pronounces a series of woes known as the seven woes of false religion. So he says, and speaking these woes, a woes is an expression of grief or sorrow. And he's basically saying, "I feel sorry for you people. I feel sorry for you people are maybe to be pitied." And he says to them, speaking of what is really most important, he said, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." Now, in Jewish law, you know there were laws of cleanliness. Okay? The people were supposed to live a certain way and they were supposed to be clean in things that they practiced when they were to eat. They were to wash their hands. Jesus was criticized by the Pharisees because his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. They didn't do the works that were legal. They broke the law, so to speak. And in this case, Jesus refers to the law of eating with clean dishes and cups. And he says, "You Pharisees and you hypocrites, what do? You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside it's dirty. It's full of greed and self-indulgence. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." In other words, what he's saying to them, when you break the laws like this, you're doing that which is detestable to God. He said, what's more important here, first of all, is our inner self. Our inner self, and the principle he's talking about is that our inner cleansing is more important. The inside makes the outside clean, not the other way around, implying that when the inside is clean, it will ultimately affect the outside. You see? And he was saying, that's how you guys are. He said, you're filthy on the inside, and it's affecting the way you live. He goes on to say to them with this principle, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Again, it was illegal for someone to touch a dead body or be in contact with someone who had died because it would make them unclean, and they would have to go and do certain ceremonial washes and rituals and then be declared unclean by the priest. Okay? In this particular case, he's referring to the tombs outside the city of Jerusalem. Outside the cities, because they don't bury their people the way we do, and there's a lot of rocky soil over in Palestine, they would put the people in tombs, in encasements, and they would actually stack them. And in order to make this look better in the surrounding countryside, they would paint them white, and it would make them look cleaner. If you ever go to Jerusalem, maybe you see them outside the city. There's a particular place, like our cemetery, they have these places where these vaults are stacked, and they kept them painted white so that they would look good. However, on the inside, they were filthy because of the dead person being in them. He said, you Pharisees are like this. He said, you're more interested in the way the outside looks than what's going on inside, and you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're filthy, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Now, when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, he referred to them earlier in Matthew chapter 23. Speaking of them, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at the banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have men call them rabbi. What Jesus was doing, he was criticizing the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were the ones that, remember, interpreted the law and the traditions, and they would walk around as high and holy men, telling everybody else how they should live. And the way they dressed gave them a sense of authority in the community. They wore their phylacteries with wide bands. Now, phylacteries were little leather boxes that would go on the forehead or on the forearm. So they would wear big wide bands and make it more evident to everybody, look at us. We're fulfilling the law by wearing our phylacteries. And then they would go on to tell people, here's what you need to do. So they would put heavy burdens on people. They would tie up heavy loads and put them on people's shoulders. They would also wear their tassels long on their robes, because in the law, the priests were supposed to, and the rabbis were supposed to wear tassels on their robes. Well, I thought, okay, we have to wear tassels. Let's really go for it. Let's make them long and big. Everybody can see them. And then they'll know that we truly are righteous people fulfilling the law. Now, the Pharisees were a Jewish sect, a group of Jewish people. The very word Pharisee means separated ones, because they separated themselves from the average community of Judaism. But also, you know what they did? They divided the people. They divided the people up, believe it or not, in their teachings and how they would treat people. They were literally dividing the people up. But they pledged to obey all the facets of the traditions, right down to the smallest detail. They were sticklers for ceremonial purity. In other words, in our common day culture and situations, the Pharisees would say our communion wine has to be real fermented wine, or they would say when you're baptized you have to go down under the immersed. The sprinkling's not right. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not implying that on anybody today, but I'm saying that's what they would be doing in our culture today. They made life difficult for themselves and bitter for other people. They despised people that they didn't consider their equals, and they were arrogant because they believed that they were the only true interpreters of God and God's word. And then they believed in the rewards for good works. So they believed that good works were what was really important. We talked about that last week. So what Jesus was saying is they were more concerned with how they looked than the condition of their heart. Okay? Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is teaching the people And he says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So truly he was using the Pharisees as an example of how not to live. It's not the right way to live, is what Jesus was saying, because the inner self was not right. See? Now, that sadly this is true in modern Christianity in terms of how we look to the world. Oftentimes as Christians, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking at how we live our Christian lives out sometimes. We get all wrapped up in this. Now, granted, I want you to understand there is a difference between putting our best foot forward for God and living like this. You know, we like to put our best foot forward for God, and God appreciates that. But oftentimes we let it go to our heads, and it becomes the focal point of who we are as Christians. Okay? Because all of a sudden it becomes about what we look like. And you see, as Christians, the Holy Spirit keeps working to sanctify us. That's helping us grow in our faith and our faith journey, to sanctify us and help us discern what really is right and what's wrong, what really does glorify God and what doesn't. And if the Holy Spirit's truly in somebody, you know, want to know something? It won't matter how they look. And it'll be very evident that they truly are filled with the Holy Spirit, because the manifestation of that will be just like the manifestation of the fruit trees in the spring and summer. Out of that will come love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? But too often times we get caught up in the Christian culture and we begin to, as Christians, paint a picture that's not true of Christianity. And we give others around us a false sense of Christianity to the point they say, if that's the way Christians are, I don't want to be a Christian. And sadly, many have fallen for this commercial Christianity and feel that if they do not look a certain way, they really aren't Christians at all, because we've been told at some time or some place by someone that you can tell a Christian by looking at them. That's a huge lie, folks. That's a huge lie. You and I are examples of this, right? And we're going to have a little fun with this morning, because we're human beings. And so the workout begins, doesn't it? We sing the song now, he touched me and now I'm no longer the same. I'm a Christian now. He touched me and now I'm no longer the same. So, you know, oh boy, I got to think about how I look now. I got to go out. Oh, I got to go to the store. I got to get one of those chains around my neck with a little cross. You know, the ones with the cross that Christians wear. All Christians wear them. I'm going to make a statement. I'm a Christian, so I got to go to the store and I got to get the cross, but I look like the other Christians. So, okay, I'm on the way to the store to get the chain for around my neck. Wow, while I'm at the store, you know, I might as well get one of those little fish for on my car. You know the ones I'm talking about? Have you ever gotten behind one of those fish people? There was a whole episode of Seinfeld about this. So that's why I call them fish people. Now, I'm not saying these things are negative or positive. In and of themselves, they are what we call amoral. They're neither negative or positive. It's how we use them today in modern Christianity that is not glorifying to God. You get behind one of those fish people. You're going down the street, and all of a sudden, there's a car comes up alongside you. You're in your lane. They got one of the fish on the back. You say, oh, they're Christians. Wow, yeah, I'm a Christian too. They come over in front of you and say, ah, did you see what that guy did? He just cut me off, and he calls himself a Christian. You come to the red light, and there you sit, and you say, I have a notion to go up there and give him a piece of my mind. And all of a sudden, we forget we're Christians, right? Right? All along, our car has a fish on too. You know? Everybody's sitting back watching one fish guy chew out another one, you know? Wow! You know? And then there's the tattoo. Well, I'm out. Well, there's a tattoo place. I might as well get the tattoo. Christians got tattoos, they got crosses. Last Sunday, we were up at Haas's eating, and our waitress had a cross tattooed on here. Now, I don't know whether you're for or against tattoos, and again, we have to be careful taking things too far, being too critical and judgmental. She had a cross, so when we were done and she was coming around, I said, "Hey, come here," and she came over to the table, and Jason was with me. I'm sure he's probably thinking, "Oh my gosh, what's Dad going to do now?" Of course, I'm Christian, you know. So I said, "Hey," I said, "are you a Christian?" And she looks at me, and I don't know whether she was terrified or whether she just didn't know what to say. And I said, "Well, you have the tattoo of the cross on your arm." I said, are you a Christian? And she's like, "Yeah, I am." And this led into a really great conversation between this young girl and I, you know. And I told her, I said, "Well, I you know, wish you the best in what you're doing." She was a college student. So, you know, in some ways these things are positive, but in some ways we have to be careful that we don't get this mindset. I have to look just like these people, or I'm really not up there in my spiritual journey. So when we get this attitude and we start thinking, "Oh, I gotta look like everybody else, you know, what do we do?" Well, here's the workout again, you know. And for those of you who were last here, we're not here last week, you missed it, I'm not gonna ride you today. That is the Christian workout, right? I gotta get one of those crosses, I gotta get a fish on my car, and I gotta do all these things. It's like, no, it's not how you look on the outside. Secondly, we start to think, "Well, he touched me and now I'm no longer the same." Well, you see, now I've got to be really serious. I'm a Christian now. I've got to be serious. I got to quit going out and goofing off and having fun now. I'm a Christian. I've got to see everything serious. So we got to walk around and we hear a joke and we're like, "No, I can't. I've got to be careful. I've got to contain myself." Because, you know, in the Bible, it doesn't say Jesus ever smiled. It says he wept, but it never says he smiled or the disciples smiled. It never says that. So I'm gonna, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, and maybe I'm a Presbyterian, so I'm not gonna. I'm a Calvinist, you know. We're very serious about our religion, you know, and I got to be careful to laugh. You know, laughter is very medicinal, right? It releases something in your brain. I don't know the name of, but at any rate, it releases something in your brain. If you're ever feeling down, or you're ever feeling even sick, oh my gosh. There's so much out there that's funny. Get yourself laughing. You know, there's a lot of good material, good Christian material, that will help us to laugh, and it helps us to heal. And you know, if God didn't want us to laugh, he wouldn't have given us the muscles to laugh, would he? In fact, I know God has a sense of humor because look at me. You know? And we're created in the image of God, right? We were given life to have fun and enjoy God's creation. And to laugh and to have fun. We just have to understand God's concept of fun, though. Okay? And maybe sometimes we should be a little less serious about ourselves and start to laugh. And so remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Remember them? They were walking along the road and they were downcast. And Jesus came along and came up beside them and he said, "Why are you so downcast?" And they started to tell him about Jesus. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. They should have been jumping for joy. We have the advantage. We know the story and our faith now is in Jesus Christ. When they realized it was Jesus, they ran back to Jerusalem to tell him, "Hey, Jesus is risen from the dead." It completely transformed their lives from downcast to upbeat. You see? So what do? Well, we get on the apparatus again. We start the workout. Well, I'm going to be serious. All right, tomorrow I'm going to start seriously working on my Christianity. I am Christian. I'm serious. I'm going to be serious about this. And everybody's looking at me and thinking, "Wow, he's so serious. He's a Christian." It's ludicrous to be like that. And it's really, really silly. And what happens, we get bogged down by the weight of outward ideals. We get bogged down by the weight of outward ideals. You know, I might not be the perfect minister to some of you, you know, but I'm who God created me to be, and we are who God created us to be, individuals. unique in our own ways. Where you are right now is where God intended for you to be, serving in the capacity you're serving, different from you over there and you over there and different from me. Oh man, you don't want to be me. Ask my wife. You know, or maybe you're at the other extreme. I call them Christian Barbies. Remember Barbie in the movie Toy Story? She's all teary, and she's walking around, and she's always got this smile on her face, and she's walking around, and so they get to the end of the movie, and the movie's over, and they're running through the credits, and all of a sudden Barbie goes, "Oh, can I stop smiling now? Can I stop smiling? Oh my gosh, my gums are so tired." You know, she's putting on a false sense of who she is, isn't she? And sadly, in a lot of cases, we meet Christians like that, and we think, "Oh man, I wish I could be like them. They're always happy. They're running around fun. How you doing? How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. Praise the Lord. You know what Jesus did the other day? Oh, Jesus can heal you. Praise the Lord. I'm just so happy today." And meanwhile, you know their life is a wreck. And you think, "Oh man." You know, they say, "Oh, I got no problems. No problem." And you know they do. You know, Jesus said in John 16, "In this world you're going to have trouble." You know, folks, we're in a battle as Christians. Christians are not clowns with smiles painted on their faces. They're warriors engaged in battle on every front against an ancient foe. And there's no soldier that ever won the battle by themselves. We need each other. I need you because you're different than me, and you see things differently, and you can give me advice and help me and give me feedback. We need each other in the battle here. But what do? We get on, go back to work, don't we? Oh my gosh, I got a smile. Yeah, I'm a good Christian, man. I got no worries. I got Jesus in my life. Oh, this is so exhausting. Can I stop smiling now? You see, because we're more concerned with how we're going to look to others. Now, this is not a complete list. Of course, there are others. There's people that run around with a false sense of humility as Christians. It's really sad. Oh, it's not me. Not me. No, I didn't do anything. They'll never say you're welcome. When you say thank you, you did a good job, they'll never say, "Well, you're welcome. I appreciate that." They'll say, "Oh, no, wasn't me. No, wasn't me. I'm just a dumb old. I'm just a dummy. I don't know anything." And you know, when they do that, they are actually belittling and discrediting what God created them to be. Folks, none of us here are just dummies or just little this or little that. I don't care how old we are. I don't care what background we come from. We are a real piece of work, each one of us. We are God's divine handiwork. And we are all special not only to God and His in your own special way. We're special to each other in your own special way. Oh gosh, it's just coming in. Remember what Paul said? We're all the body of Christ. Can the hand say to the foot, "We don't need you"? Can the foot say to the eye, "We don't need you"? No. They are all unique in their own way, and they are needed and important to make up the body of Jesus Christ. In some cases, you know, we get into this think mindset that, well, we got to live in good homes. We got to drive nice cars. We got to wear good clothes. We got to look good because we're Christians. So we got to have a good personal appearance. You know, ladies, you see those nice, slender people on those television churches. You say, "Look at all those people at that church. They're all beautiful and they're all underweight." And we come to our church and we say, "Look at us, man." But in our own way, we are unique. And we are awesome at St. John's Church because we are uniquely who God created us to be. Now, all this is a result, of course, of our Western thinking and our culture, because we have come to a point in life in our culture that we can't even really decide anymore what's right and what's wrong, can we? Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was so complicated. There's gold crosses, there's silver crosses, there's wooden crosses. You see? And we start into the workout because we can't really decide what's really right. We're going here, we're going there, we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off. And people are saying, "Wow, I don't know if I really want to be a Christian." and what really should be coming out is the cleanness, the cleanliness of Christ living in us, extending grace and love and forgiveness and mercy, not judgment, not pointing fingers, not condemnation because you don't look like somebody else. We're not the Baptists, we're not the Presbyterians, we're Methodists, and that's okay. And they're okay too. We're all unique in our own way. But God's created us unique in that way so that we might, in our own places, in our own ways, reach the whole world. Rather than getting all wrapped up in all this outward appearance stuff. Remember Paul talked to the Corinthians about eating meat. And Paul talked about his Christian freedom. Now again, I want to emphasize we cannot be sloppy in our Christian faith. Cannot be sloppy. But Paul talked about eating meat. There were certain meats that the Jews were not allowed to eat. So when people became Christians, they were saying to Paul, is it lawful for us to eat certain meats? And Paul said, listen, it's a matter of conscience. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. If you have someone with you that's not allowed to eat that meat, don't eat it because you're going to make them stumble. See? They're different than you are. Honor their difference. But in all reality, we're free as Christians. We don't let those things control us anymore. We let the Holy Spirit guide us through our Christian lives into what's right and what's wrong. And God will do that. God will convict you. If you're getting a little sloppy with your Christianity, He'll convict you. He'll convict you because He loves you. And He'll let you know, no, I don't want you doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. You see? So we should not get caught up in this workout trying to paint a picture for society that really is not true of who we are. When society sees who you genuinely are, you want to know something? The power of the gospel triples or more exponentially in power. Let me give you an example. I've told you this before. Sitting in a duck blind on the Susquehanna River. Wind and snow spitting in our faces. And my friend says to me, wow, I have never seen so many ducks come in like that in the morning. Now, he knew I was a minister. And I said to him, do you know why it is? He said, why? I said, because I prayed this morning. I prayed that God would give us an exciting time and help us to have fun and be safe. And do you know something? That had more power than if I'd went in and said, are you a Christian? You accepted Jesus? You know your Bible? You ever read the Bible from cover to cover? Because the men that hunt with me now are not afraid to ask questions and to grow and explore in their faith. Because God used me as who I am. I didn't wear my suit coat that day or my tie. Okay? But that's the best example I can tell you of how it works. We be ourselves. Share the grace of Almighty God. And, you know, just share Jesus with others. Now, I want to finish real quickly here with a contrast in Matthew chapter 5. Because Jesus was teaching, Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, he wasn't talking about our motives as Christians. I got to go out and do these things, make my light shine so everybody praises God. You see, that's not how it works. We say, here's who I am. And we live our lives allowing the light of Christ to shine out from us. In love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, the mercy and forgiveness. When people see that, it is so powerful. It's so powerful. Rather than judging and pointing fingers. Say, that person's not a Christian. Look, got a fish on their car, and they just cut me out. And furthermore, they just raised the hand with a gesture. They're no more Christian. I don't even know if I want to be a Christian anymore. You see, it's forgiveness and it's love. We're going to talk about this next week when we talk about our actions. a little more. We're to let our light shine, and in our letting our light shine, people will see the radiance of God flowing out of us. We're not to worry about what others think of us or see in us. We can easily get entangled in the thinking that in order to be a good Christian, we have to look a certain way. If Christ is truly in your heart, your inner cup will be clean and will ultimately shine forth the glory of God, and the pictures that others see when they see you will be a picture of grace and love, and that because the Holy Spirit in you will overflow with truth no matter what you wear, what you drive or what you own or what you put on your car or what you put on your body. In Jesus Christ, you and I are a real piece of work, aren't we? And we might as well laugh about it. God's got a sense of humor. He understands where we are and what we're doing. And sometimes laughing is a great testimony to others for God's divine work as He molds us and makes us and fills us and using us. And how we look to others ultimately is in direct correlation to the work of the divine artist in us. How we look to others is in correlation with the divine work in us. How many of you here this morning, now you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you here this morning would have been appalled if I'd have served communion in jeans and a t-shirt, a pair of boots? I almost wore them this morning, but I didn't know what to do. I struggled with it. You know, I struggled with the workout. I wanted to put my best foot forward for the Lord and, you know, wear my jacket and tie and things like that. I know I'm the preacher and I'm supposed to. Okay, here we go again. But, you know, in all reality, our outward appearance is really not what matters. What matters is having Jesus inside. When we have Jesus inside and the inside's clean, the outside will literally radiate the glory and grace of God, and others will say, I want what they got. Let's pray. Lord our God, we are truly thankful for your word today. As we